Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Loving and gracious Father in heaven, we are thankful that thou art the one who does answer prayer, and thou dost fill our needs with a tender care and a loving heart of a heavenly Father up above. And in that need and dependence upon thee, we come before thee and ask for thy blessing upon our gathering together and the opening of thy word. We ask thy blessing upon the children in the Sunday school and the efforts of their teachers. May we be moved by thy spirit and directed to a walk and a faith that grows in thee, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is through his name that we pray all these things. Amen. Let us turn together, with the Lord's help, to Galatians chapter 5. Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, the fifth chapter.
Bratia naša, da se čita iz poslanice apostola Pavla Galaćanima iz pete glave. Galaćanima, peta glava.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We all bow before the Lord in prayer. We have read together the entire chapter. It's recorded here and separated from this letter that Apostle Paul wrote to the region of Galatia and the churches that were there. We find much for our souls feeding and beauty and power in the words that we have read. And to stand before this word and to stand before a congregation to share from the scriptures, one finds themselves very much unworthy and feels that deeply. Yet also the prayers that have been uttered from early in this morning and in the past days for the proclamation of the Word of God to go forth in its simplicity, in its truth, in its power, that it would be a blessing to the believers and edify and build up our faith, and that the Word would come as a two-edged sword and divide the thoughts and the intents of hearts, and that would be a light into hearts that are still not within the fold of Jesus Christ. Those are also felt. May the Lord answer those prayers. And may the Spirit of God take the words from the scriptures that have been recorded for us and speak to us individually, speak to our hearts, and meet our needs. Apostle Paul was writing with great love, with great concern, and a heart that sincerely desired for each and every one who had embraced the faith to continue in the faith, to stand fast in Jesus Christ and in the liberty that we find in him, the freedom, the blessing, and to be fruitful as we are found as branches on that vine. It is a beautiful illustration that Jesus gives us that is so helpful for us to find where do we belong and where is our place in the kingdom of God. But branches on the vine, apart from the vine and its life-giving strength, the branch can do nothing. But when connected, and when those in the physical branch, the tubes that draw the nutrients and the water and the life-giving force from the vine, when they are connected, when we are connected and relating to the Lord through faith, we are connected as that branch on the vine, and we draw from the vine all the nourishment and the strength that we have need. God provides everything that we have need of. For what purpose? To bear fruit. And what is the nature of that fruit? We are given a clear explanation that what would develop from our faith and reliance upon Jesus Christ would be love, a self-sacrificing love, a love that serves, a love that gives. And it would be joy. Despite the depressing and darkness of this world, that there would be a joy that would abound in our hearts for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the hope that's set before us in following him and knowing that when we walk in his steps, we're walking in the right way, that we're walking in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And along with that, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that the world cannot give, though it may present counterfeits that calm our conscience for the time or make us forget about troubles and struggles. Peace that the world has not given, and the peace that the world cannot take away, though it has tried through ages in past, through persecution, through seeking to separate us from the love of God, to separate those who believe and trust upon Jesus Christ. But they cannot take that peace away. Long-suffering, a patience, a willingness to forbear, and a forgiveness. Knowing how long-suffering and patient God was with us when we were his enemies, and showing us his grace and love and mercy, he teaches us, do thou likewise. Do the same. As you have freely received, freely give. And oh, how long-suffering our eternal God is. And gentleness. Gentleness with those that contradict themselves, calling them to repentance, praying for them that they would acknowledge the truth and receive the blessing of being a child of God. Goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. That meekness that is so characteristic of that horse, or perhaps an animal of great strength, that is capable of much, but is under control. Not weak and frail, but directed, guided, and focused. And temperance does not go into extremes, but sober in the mind and in the heart and in the life. And against such there is no law. We can and should meditate and dwell on these fruits. That these thoughts that are true and honest and lovely would be the path that our mind and our thoughts go to and they default to grow in these things, to abound in these things. This is what we're called to. These are the evidences of the work of the Spirit, that Spirit that is received through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul is writing to these churches in Galatia because he's concerned. And he wants to direct their hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. He wants to direct them in a way that is consistent with the gospel that Jesus Christ had laid forth, that the apostles have written about and laid a foundation for us to keep and to preserve. Yet there were those that troubled these churches and taught them, that's a good start, the gospel was a good start, but you need to keep the law of Moses. The men would need to go through the rites of a Jewish custom to be circumcised and to keep all of the law of Moses. Then you would be perfect. The Apostle Paul said no. 1,000 times no. And warns them. And in this chapter, he presents the way of the Spirit, the way of following the Lord in faith. And we are to take notice and to follow and to pattern our lives after that. But he also displays and puts forth to us alternates. The path of following the law and the path of following sin. And by observing the contrasts between these paths, we can learn, and the true comes forth in a bold relief. When we see the ways of darkness, we can notice them, we can identify them. Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Behold, take notice. Apostle Paul is going to say something that he wants us to pay attention to, something that he wants to draw our thoughts and bring our minds to understand, not just a small saying, but something that is very, very powerful. "I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." We have this way of following the law. This is a principle of life. And it basically says this, that God is up here, and we are down here. And if you would work works of goodness and truth and obedience, and give the alms, and practice the ceremonies, that you can get closer to God, and you can be esteemed by God, and you can be declared righteous. That is basically what the way of life of following the law says, that we can earn and deserve our standing with God. Well, Apostle Paul has things to say about that path of life that is contrary to the way of following the Lord in the Spirit. He says the first thing is that Christ shall profit you nothing. If we depend upon our power and our works to make us right with God, then who needs a Savior? Who needs one to bring forgiveness, because it's not about what the Lord has done or what the Lord can provide. It's about my power and what I bring to Him. So Christ will profit me nothing. If a Savior comes, we can see Him and say, "Wow, okay, it's nice miracles that you did, but it does nothing for my life. Profits me nothing." When we profit, our bank books are in the positive. And so when we follow in the way of the law that says, "I will do, I will accomplish, it will be about me, and I will receive the credit and the praise for what I have done and how I've pleased God," we don't get a profit from Christ. We gain nothing from Him. So we're at zero now. No profit. But then we continue on. "I testify again to every man that is circumcised." Paul wants to make this very clear to all those that would follow in the law, in that Jewish law, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Not only does he not profit from the Messiah and the Anointed One that came to bring forgiveness, to bring that true righteousness. Not only does he not have a positive, but he's a debtor. He's going negative. This is going down. You see what Apostle Paul is showing? He is a debtor to do the whole law. If you are going to pursue the life that says, "I will accomplish and I will be righteous before God based on what I do," there is an expectation that you fulfill everything flawless and perfect. If you fail in one point in the law, you are violating the law of God, and you're guilty of everything. The problem is that even if today we decided, I'm going to follow that and I'm going to do so great, and every day I'm going to devote to loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, we are simply giving back God the time that He has offered us, all the resources that He has given to us. We're just giving it back. So we're really not paying back for the past. And we become a debtor. We become in debt. He continues, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. From this idea of positive to negative and completely fallen over from grace. From the love of God. From the help that He provides. We push it away and we say, God, I don't need you. I'm going to try it on my own. Those words are so familiar to those of us who have heard testimonies and maybe have even spoken testimonies of how we wanted to please God and we tried so hard on our own. We tried a lot of different things. We tried out sin. We tried to be obedient. We tried to please God. And we fell flat on our face. And we realized that we failed. It's so hard to feel those feelings and to go through that experience. But that was the hand of God in mercy teaching us the truth. That we need the Lord. That we do need Him. And we cannot be a hero of faith riding out on our own. We remember what Paul said, Christ shall profit you nothing if you seek to be justified by your own righteousness. Yet realizing our failure and the weakness of our flesh and that the law could not provide us life and help that we had need of and do have need of, what do we say now? Oh, how I need the Lord. Oh, how thankful I am that God provided a Savior for me. Oh, that we would profit in Christ, that we would see the glory and the beauty of our Savior, not just in the hillside and the wilderness where He divided the bread and provided for multitudes. We would see the beauty of His love in the cross and His suffering for us, and that we would count that cross a gain. That would be the only thing that would bring to our hearts a glory that we would boast, make any boast of. That the Lord has loved us with such a love. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. And may He teach us the futility of trusting in ourselves, trusting in our abilities and our power, and seek the Lord while He may be found. Learn the lesson that the law has been given to teach us, that we do need a Savior. We are taught to wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. We are hoping. We are waiting. We are patient. We are receiving. When we look to the Lord with expectation and faith, we wait for that hope of eternal life and presence with the Lord, to be at His side, to behold Him, to glory in what He has done for us. That is what we're waiting for. That is what our patient expectation is, that the Lord would fulfill all of his promises as he has given in his word. That's what the righteousness by faith is waiting for. That is what the righteousness by faith is expecting. That is what the righteousness by faith knows with certainty, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and holds to no matter what happens. In this patient waiting, might seem as if sometimes described as waiting or patience, as inactivity compared to following in the law and doing. But here we continue to read, in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Our faith, enacted, empowered, given life by the love of God to do and to bear fruit. That is the rule that guides us, a love of God. And that is how we discern what is the right path and what is the right thing to do when we have questions in our mind. Albeit these Galatians, Apostle Paul has a commentary on their lives. Ye did run well. They had a good beginning. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? The truth was that they could not avail themselves of righteousness before God, depending on their own works. But they kicked against the pricks. They tried. By following deceptive teachers that said, here's a better way. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What's in your way and what's stopping you from acknowledging what the Scripture is teaching? Perhaps it is the path and the walking of following the law, alienated from God and alienated from a need of a Savior, that causes men not to obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. There is one that is calling us to a life of faith, a life of walking in the Spirit, a life of obedience. But the persuasion of following after the law and not after the Spirit is not coming from him. He is calling to us. We hear his calls as he intercedes for us and prays that we would be faithful. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, Apostle Paul says. It does not take much of a false teaching to spread and to grow, because it is something that satisfies the taste and the desire of the flesh. A way that we can gain credit, notoriety before God and man, and yet it's a false promise, and it's going down, down, down. Yet, Apostle Paul says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. That we would not be minded to follow after the principle of law of earning and deserving, but believing and receiving through Jesus Christ and walking in that Spirit that we'll take a look now in these next verses, beginning with verse 13. You've been called unto liberty. This is our calling, to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And yet there is something here that said, yet use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Here, Apostle Paul begins developing this idea of the flesh. We have this law that says, stay away. Don't touch, don't handle. And then we have this tendency of the flesh to pursue sin. It says, take advantage of whatever you can. Make the best gain of it for yourself. And whatever your self-interest is, it's polar opposites. But it's leading to destruction, both of them. And so Apostle Paul doesn't want them to confuse the liberty that they have with Christ as with the liberty that the flesh would pursue and sin. This path of sin, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's great direction, there is great protection in that word, to love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the word that clearly guides us and gives us discernment in how to live. The way of sin seeks to exalt self and my own interests. As it says, here's the tendency to take liberty for an occasion to the flesh. What else does it do? It hurts others. It doesn't care about what effect my actions, my attitudes, my behavior has on someone else. If they suffer consequences, big deal. Did I enjoy it? That's what matters. And that's a way of life that is very strongly promoted by the culture of our day. Step on others so that you can get ahead. And ultimately, what does that do? We see in verse 17 that the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. This life and this path of sin and pursuing sin is one that is fighting against God. It's fighting against others. It's fighting against God. And it's seeking to serve self. It's all about promoting one's interests. But it ends with this: ye cannot do the things that you would. God has created us with an understanding and a knowledge in His way that seeks after God. There's something within us that needs to be freed to do the things that you would. We're hindered by this idea of law to follow the truth. We're hindered by the flesh to do the things that we would. What is right, what God has shown us, to love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly with our God. What is stopping me? What is stopping you? What is hindering the work of the Spirit? The Scripture says, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If we are led of the Spirit, if we are sensitive to His guidance and His direction, we are walking in the steps of Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the law. That God would give us a heart that would love to be close, that would love to be bound with Christ and His freedom, that we would be able to do the things that we would, that we would be able to obey the truth. The works of the flesh are manifest. We have many examples of the works of the flesh, some that we don't explain or perhaps don't use the words very frequently. Maybe we can touch on so that we can have an understanding of what this is saying. This word lasciviousness, it can include the actions of adultery and fornication, but it goes out far beyond to the battleground that is so much more common: our mind, our imagination, the thoughts. Uncontrolled desire that burns within the heart of men and women. That is what is described by lasciviousness. emulations, to copy or to be better than someone else, variance, to be at odds, to be at odds with someone for years and years is a work of the flesh. Seditions, to seek to take over, to usurp authority. Heresies, following opinions that are not in the common practice of the faith. A lot of these can be challenging when we see in the world, and even in Galatia. There was a false teaching, and Apostle Paul was at variance with them. There are heresies. There's all kinds of different ways of practicing what is called Christian faith. It is the rule of love that must guide. Not love that would embrace and tolerate just anything, but a love that says, what is good for the soul? What is good for the development of the man of God? And follow in that and promote that. And Apostle Paul clearly states, and he had not just said this for the first time in this letter, but when he introduced the gospel to them, he taught them that those which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are very weighty words. They're words to reflect upon. They're words to ask the Lord to send these things out from our lives and from our midst so that there would be room, so that we would make room for the fruit of the Spirit, which we've discussed already and is the focus and the jewel, as it were, in this beautiful chapter guiding us to a way of following the Lord. Another characteristic of walking in the Spirit is given here in verse 24 as we near the conclusion of the chapter. That they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Where do we go? Where do we go when we see that we are at odds with the Word? Do we hide it? Do we seek to excuse it? Or do we see that there is a deliverance and a liberty in dying to self, in repenting, and finding the freedom that Christ Himself alone can give? We are given life by the Spirit, and if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is the path that we're directed to. Life in the Spirit through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are those of you who do not know the Lord as of yet, who hear the Word, and you see the distinctions between life following the law, life following sin, and life following Christ. And it's the Lord. It's the Father who draws. It's the Word of the Son who speaks and teaches. And it's the leading of the Spirit to prick the heart, to guide you so that you can find the truth, so that you can be set free and find salvation for your souls. And that is what we were praying for when we were praying for the Word of the Lord to have its free course and to go forth in its simplicity and its truth. And we continue to pray and ask the Lord for His blessing. Amen.